Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome again to another Help and Hope for Families radio broadcast. And our goal is to help marriages that are having issues and struggling, to help them work out these issues with the help of the Lord, and also to help good marriages become even better. And I'm Tim Tucker, affiliate staff member of the Pittsburgh Family Life Team, along with Scott and Catherine Mercer, part of our great team here in Pittsburgh. And with me are Tom and Pam Jones. Tom is an associate pastor and a licensed Christian counselor. Pam is a real estate agent in the Pittsburgh area. So here we are again around our table. So thanks for joining us,
thanks
everybody.
Thanks so much for inviting us back.
Good to be here today.
Our great panel. All right. Well, Tom, we've been talking about how to restore trust in a spouse who is unfaithful. And so we talked about this last week. Kind of fill us in a little bit of what we talked about last time.
Sure, Tim. We've been talking about a very unfortunate topic, which is what happens after there's a moral failure by a spouse when it's involving, you know, whether it's marital unfaithfulness, an addiction to pornography. It could be stealing from a family member, drug or alcohol addiction. So what do we do now? How do we restore that?
Something that breaks the trust in the
Something in the relationship that had broken down the trust. It doesn't have to be these things that's been mentioned here. And so again, we've talked about how, for one thing, it takes true humility-based repentance,
yes,
first of all. And then it takes time. It doesn't matter how much time goes by, if there's not true repentance, true humility, nothing's going to change. So, and again, it's the offended spouse who is the one that determines how much time is needed to rebuild the trust. It's the offending spouse that is able to move that along by being consistent. And so those are some of the things that we've talked about. And one of the things that I want to mention today is, for example, I'm a certified sex addiction therapist. And when trust is broken, I think it's important for the offended spouse to have someone to talk to. We often think about the offending spouse needing counseling. Counseling would help because there's something that led up to that. But I think sometimes maybe overlooked is the person who has been offended. A safe place to talk about the pain, a safe place to express the anger, the sadness, whatever the case might be, and somebody that can help walk them through that and the normalization of it. Because I think sometimes the offended spouse has, they don't know whether what they're feeling is really a part of this, or is it just them? And again, that would be something that Pam could speak to if she chose to. But we talk about forgiveness and we talk about all these things, but I think one of the things we want to talk about is the result of the broken trust and the pain that comes with that.
We talked a little bit last week too about a spouse who struggles with trust in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lifetime of experience, yeah, of broken trust. They're in a relationship, and here we go once again.
Yeah.
The trust has been broken.
Absolutely.
And so the offender has to realize there's a brokenness in the offended that now they got a kind of a double whammy they got to work with here.
Yeah.
And so that was a big one.
With my clients, I use an analogy of a horse that my dad owned when I was a child. Beautiful, beautiful animal. The horse could have done no telling what had it been trained, especially in barrel racing, if you know what barrel racing is. But the horse was an incredible horse. But my dad smoked, and one day he was riding him, and when he first, I think maybe even just trying him out, and dad brought the cigarette up to his mouth to take a drag from the cigarette, and the horse just freaked out. And that's not natural for a horse to do that. Well, what we found out was that a previous owner had beaten the horse. My dad had not, but my dad had to act around that animal as if though he were the one that beat the animal, because the animal was just responding to the movement. And so I think we sometimes can take that into the marriage, that because when I married Pam, I married everything that had happened to her in her entire life. We sometimes think when we get married, okay, it's a fresh start. No. Because when Pam married me, she married everything that was in my past. And so I think that's one of the things to remember. And especially in today's culture, actual solid trust is becoming more and more rare, I feel.
And you do have to build up that trust again. There will be times that the offender might act, your spouse might act toward, like, and you think it's something that he did previously while that was going on, and it triggers you all over again. And so for the offender to come along and understand that and work you and love you through it.
For me, it was when I was being irritable. If I was irritable, as hard as that is to imagine.
You were irritable?
Yeah. Well, I think there was one time.
Because we were fighting all the time. Yeah. So I knew that if something, and it, you know, it might be something silly, and we fought about it, and it would trigger me, and because I would think, okay, here we go again, this is it. And
from a neurological perspective, that's the amygdala in our brain, which the job of the amygdala is to pick up on threats. But the amygdala in and of themselves are not able to determine whether this is a perceived threat or a legitimate threat. And when you've been wounded deeply, sometimes it can seem too risky to take that chance.
Well, Catherine, you know, some spouses say, I will never, never forgive him or her for what they did to me.
What
does God have to say about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of thoughts there, aren't there, Tim? First, I'll just start with a very overarching thought, is that idea of biblical forgiveness is not holding sin against my spouse or another person. So just as God treated us that way. What does God say about it in the Bible? Matthew 18:21-35, if you get some time to look that up. You know, we show the same grace to your spouse as God has shown to you in forgiving all of your sins. You know, this, we have a Family Life article that says, do the hard work of forgiveness and take the risk of rebuilding trust with the repentant spouse again. Forgiveness is not the same thing as reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is the starting point that paves the way for reconciliation to happen.
I think we want to help our listeners understand that forgiveness is an act that can happen in a moment. And so we need to separate that from the consequence. So somebody has done something, and we think that immediately when we forgive them, we just have to, we talked about this last week, we have to forget, or we have to act like it never happened, or somehow all is okay and everything's all fine and better. And nothing could be further from the truth. So
that's
forgiveness
true.
Is a one-moment act. I forgive you.
Right.
Now what?
Mm-hmm.
Now comes the work. And I think, Catherine, that's what you're alluding to.
And I think of forgiveness as, you know, a way that we need to deal with the past. And that establishing trust again has everything to do with the future.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, Scott, you are right. We begin with that starting point of forgiveness. And oftentimes as that spiritual light bulb goes on, if we have placed our trust in Christ, we will see further and further into the layers of forgiveness. And we see very deeply how God forgave us.
Mm-hmm.
That is the beauty of having a personal relationship with Christ that indeed significantly impacts couples to be able to forgive one another and rebuild trust.
If I don't understand the concept of forgiveness, God's grace and his total forgiveness of me and my depravity and sin, if I don't have a good understanding of that, then how can I have a good understanding of how to forgive someone horizontally?
Mm-hmm.
I need to realize what God has sacrificed for me in forgiving. How can I then hold that forgiveness back from someone else?
Mm-hmm.
I really can't, even when there's horrific sin. And this is the challenge of couples that are going through really hard times, because I'll bet you somebody's sitting there right now saying, yeah, but you don't know what he's done to me.
Right.
There's no way I can forgive this. This is an unforgivable thing. And all I can do is implore you to consider the great depth of Christ's forgiveness of us when we were yet sinners and enemies of his. He died for me to forgive me.
Scott, if I can interject something here. There may be somebody listening right now that's thinking, am I going to stay or am I going to go? If you're struggling to forgive right now, it's not because you're a bad person. It's because you're living in a place of pain. There's actually a modality of therapy called forgiveness therapy, where they can be counseled to walk through that if that's the place they are. Processing the pain, working toward forgiveness, these are huge considerations.
So Tom, if somebody says I need help, how do they get it? Because you've got some great advice here, but we have a short period of time to go through it. What can they do can they reach out to you?
Sure, absolutely. They can reach out to me at 724-672-3670, or I can be reached by email at tj1162@gmail.com.
You notice we're, folks, if you're listening to us, you notice we're saying there is help here. There's an individual, a person who is willing to listen to where you're going through and what's going on. There's literally somebody horizontally. Let's start with God, but let's go and reach out.
You don't have to walk through this alone.
Alone. Yeah. Great words.
And if you all who are listening tonight would like to have some extra help too as well, the Weekend of Remembers coming up at the end of September. And Catherine, give us some information about that event.
WeekendToRemember.com. Go check that out on the Family Life. It's part of the Family Life website. We've got a 2.5-day getaway event, September 23rd through 25th at the Pittsburgh Marriott North. And we would love to have you engaged, considering marriage, married, remarried. Pastorally, you can receive a scholarship if you're a pastor couple. 2.5 days to invest in your marriage and be refreshed, listen to some biblical speakers, and laugh a little bit, too.
That's right. And pastors can attend with their spouses just by going on the WeekendRemember.com website, and you'll be able to get the information on how the pastors can come free and enjoy that time together they need with their spouses. So if you have any questions about any of the resources that Family Life has to offer, please call me at 412-337-3858, or you can email me at tptuck@juno.com. And so thanks for being with us tonight, and we, Lord willing, see you next Sunday night at the same time for our Help and Hope for Families.